Honorable members, are you there? Honorable members, we could start now. National Commissioner, you could do your presentation now. We are doing the safety policy and strategy which we have prepared. We'll engage with it further in another meeting. It is a very important document, and I think that the members should familiarize themselves with the document. National Commissioner, are you ready for the presentation?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I'm ready for the presentation. Honorable Chairperson, last year, this year, early, after the 1st of April, after my appointment, we came together as the management and look at which areas are of concern to South African public. And we then drafted that into a national policy strategy with a view to bolster the efforts in the fight against crime. And one area that sticks quite out in this strategy is that we all know that we have for what we call top 30 high conduct crime stations. And of course, also in the province we have such. But we said we cannot continue having this top 30 high conduct crime stations forever. And we need to come up with plans to deal with this. So with the imminent passing out of the new constables, we're looking forward to resource this top 30 high conduct, both with physical and personnel, as well as other resources, so that they can optimally perform and get out or be reduced in terms of the levels of crime. In the strategy, we embodied all other matters that we would want to attend, and I'm going to allow General Rabi to take us through this presentation, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you very much. General Rabi.
Thank you very much, National Commissioner. You may proceed.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members of the Committee, the SAP Senior Management in Attendance, our National Commissioner, the Deputy National Commissioners, and others. Chair, as the, by means of the introduction that has been made by the National Commissioner, this policing strategy has been developed. And it also serves as the annual operational plan of the department over the next 3 years. So the document has been developed, as the National Commission indicated, around the specific priorities that the organization is currently facing. And we have also done the alignment with the National Intelligence Estimate to ensure that the specific actions are implemented to ensure that we deal with those threats that have been identified. Looking at the background, I'm going to skip slide number three. The National Development Plan refers to the need to address crime and violence, and also acknowledging that the fight against crime and crime prevention is not the sole responsibility of the police. And then we've also included specific threats that has been identified in specifically focusing on violent crime and gender-based violence and femicide. Slide three just gives some background in terms of the approval, as the National Commissioner has already referred to that. Maybe just quickly making reference to the fact that this is also being coordinated by our National Crime Combating Forum at national level. Now, starting first, Chair, with the strategic intent, The document or the strategy itself is focusing on creating a safe and secure environment for people in South Africa that is conducive for social economic stability, supporting a better life for all. I think in that strategic intent, Chair, it's visible that we are supporting, first of all, the economic reconstruction and recovery plan.
Honorable Chair,
and also advancing the commitments that are included in the National Development Plan, as well as the principles associated with the district development model. On the left-hand side, what we also indicate is the alignment that has been done in terms of what the president committed to in the State of the Nation address, the direction that has been provided by our Minister of Police, and then as the National Commissioner indicated, these specific priorities that he has identified. Chair, before I get to the details about the specific actions that will be implemented by the department, it is important just to communicate some of the guiding principles associated with the strategy itself. One of the areas that has been identified for to be optimized over the next 3 years is the life cycle management of operations, that we make sure that we follow a very structured and detailed approach to operations, and that we follow these phases to ensure that we, you know, that operational activities are optimally implemented, that we do proper monitoring and reporting, and at the end of the day do an evaluation to determine what the impact of operations are. That will, for instance, include those areas where we identify best practices for implementation. Chair, in this slide, you will note that I also make reference to 3 different approaches that I will discuss in the next slide. But the principle that we want to communicate here is that to ensure optimal operational successes, that there needs to be proper management of the life cycle of operations. Chair, there are 3 approaches that we can apply in the fight against crime. Now, the first one is our conventional policing. Now, what that means is we are referring to the capability that we have, the way that the South African Police Service is structured in terms of our organizational levels, the footprint that we have. For instance, we have 1,158 police stations. I think that has now increased. And also taking into consideration the capabilities that we have available in your specialized environments, for instance, your public order policing, et cetera. So that is in a nutshell what we mean with conventional policing. And it is also, I think, what the people commonly understand how the police service works. Then the other 2 options that we have is the geographical and organized crime approach. And I just want to start saying that these 2 are not mutually exclusive. They can be combined, and they are also being implemented in terms of, or with the aim to support your conventional policing approach where specific threats have been identified. So the geographical approach requires the South African Police Service to focus on a specific geographical area that has been identified where we have specific crime, threats, or crime threats and patterns. Now, the aim of the geographical approach is, first of all, to stabilize the situation, and we will, and in that regard, we will focus on multidisciplinary approach to problems where we got all the relevant force multipliers involved. So the emphasis in this regard is on the restoring law and order, and to the reduced levels of crime, ensuring successful prosecution of offenders. But the key issue is here, yeah, the geographical approach requires the South African Police Service to focus resources and divert resources to these problematic areas that have been identified. That this includes the top 30 that has been mentioned by the National Commissioner. And the key issue is then to ensure that there is sustainability, because you pump resources into that geographical area, stabilize the situation, and then through cooperation or collaboration with your stakeholders, normalize the situation, and ultimately it might then require, or you will where we within withdraw those resources that has been allocated for the period of stabilization. The last one is the organized crime approach. Chair, this is, it cuts across borders. Organized crime is not limited to specific areas, and this will be informed by our organized crime threat analysis, and it requires, or it entails us investigating these threats as either major or project investigations. Now, the aim of the organized crime approach is to identify those syndicates, gangs, the groups, etc., and then to disrupt, neutralize, and dismantle the identified organized crime threats. So, Jay, you will note that there's a slight difference in terms of the outcome of the 2 approaches, where your geographical approach is focusing on stabilization and normalization, the organized crime approach is focusing on disruption, neutralization, and dismantling of the organized crime groups. And as I indicated earlier, these two are not mutually exclusive. They can be combined, to specifically to address a specific threat that has been identified in a specific area. On the next slide, Chair, we just wanted to briefly refer to the key dimensions. We are applying, we are referring to this as our planning doctrine. And in the planning doctrine, there are five key elements identified that is applicable to either the conventional policing, the geographical, or the organized crime and transnational and cyber crime approach. These are type of operations or activities, interventions are being planned, all five of these are then associated with these approaches. First of all, there's the focus on intelligence, making sure that we have sufficient information available when the specific threat is being approached. Now, that includes also the flow of information intelligence during operations and as long as this operation is being implemented in a specific area. It includes a proactive policing and visibility approach. Now, that is when the need is identified for an increase in police presence in specific areas to deter crime, focusing, for instance, on your normal crime prevention related activities. And one might ask the question, but when you're looking at an organized crime approach, where does proactive policing and visibility come in? It does. It depends on the nature and the aim of that specific operation. It might, for a period or for a time, require your proactive policing and high levels of visibility. Combating and reaction, for instance, is your way. Every crime operation, Chair, will have its own unique requirements in terms of and the utilization of specialized capabilities. And these requirements will be determined by the means of the specific operation. So if I might just quickly explain this by means of an example. If you look at the proactive, the second one that I explained, you might say that, for instance, when you look at the illegal bringing of people into the country over our borders, that is an organized crime approach. We might say that in terms of the visible policing and your proactive approach at border post, you use the current capability as your first line of defense in preventing that crime from happening. When it comes to the combating and reaction capability, if I may use the same example, where you have the example of human trafficking, although it will be investigated from an organized crime approach, there's also an element of combating in reaction, for instance, where a specific location is identified for penetration, et cetera. So there's always a mix of these elements. And what is critical is that from the planning stage that we take all of these elements into consideration for the purpose of executing these operations. And then lastly, but definitely not the least, is your stakeholder management, where throughout the total operational approach, whether it's a conventional approach, whether it's a geographical or organized crime approach, we must always ensure that we effectively manage our relations with stakeholders involved in those processes. The next element that we've identified, Chair, the third element is planning or capability development. What we need to do as an organization to ensure that depending on the type of operations that we identify for the purpose of implementation, that we capacitate the organization to deal with that specific threat. Now, every threat or every operation that we plan will always have a certain basket of requirements. Now, capability, the model that we are currently implementing is that where we say that when you plan a specific intervention or operation, you look at the personnel requirements, the personnel development requirements, the equipment, the facilities, the information and communication technology that is required, the actual information that is required. And then in the background, you're looking at issues around governance, you're looking at issues around the budget and the funding, as well as the organizational structure requirements that you apply, which in some cases might be in the form of a matrix structure that includes a project approach. So the aim of this third element of the strategy, Chair, is to ensure that in the execution that we are as a department able to ensure that the right type of resources is available at the right time and the right location. We find in some instances that the effectiveness of operations are being compromised as a result of the supporting resources not being available at the time that they are required. So what we propagate with this is that from the onset that we properly plan in, you know, taking into consideration what is the capacitation requirements associated with the specific operational intervention. And this will then be managed by our integrated resource management capability, or the IRMC, that we have established at national level to make sure that the procurement, the life cycle management of resources is managed in an integrated manner, where we prevent a situation where, for instance, you get different types of resources coming in at different types and they are not properly planned and sequenced to come in the sequence that are required for the purpose of implementation. So those are the three key guiding principles, Chair, that is associated with the strategy. It is the effective management of life cycle management of operations, the selection of the correct operational approach, and then the application of the planning doctrine, as I have explained. The strategy in itself focuses on six areas. Now, five of the six areas are outward-looking focus areas. We're looking at, and the year, Chair, you will note the alignment with the National Intelligence Estimate, where we look at territorial integrity of the country, authority of the state, crime that talks to the, or that threatens the economy of South Africa. And then the fourth one talks about the crime that threatens the well-being and safety of all people in South Africa. Now, Jay, I don't want to say that some of the areas are more important than others, but focus area four is actually, according to us, the highlight of the strategy, because it links to the issues that the National Commissioner raised about violent crime, GBV, etc. Focus area five, the optimal management of stakeholders and ensuring active citizenry, getting people involved in the fight against crime. And then we have the sixth area where we start looking into the inward-looking area in terms of capacitating the organization. And that is where we are referring to the fact, making sure that here we make sure that we have the right type of resources available at the right time at the correct locations. I will just briefly touch on some of the key deliverables, Chair. What we have done is we've submitted a copy of the strategy itself, where we indicate more details. So here I will only be touching, I will not include targets and responsibilities, but just highlight the issues that we are focusing on in terms of that specific focus area. When we're looking at the territorial integrity of the state, there are two key deliverables that has been identified, Chair. Now, first of all, when we look at the territorial integrity, there are six strategies that are key in the implementation process that we will be monitoring and that we will be reporting on, but at the same time also ensure that they are properly capacitated. There you have your counterintelligence, counterterrorism, your narcotics intervention, your border policing strategy, your strategy combat wildlife trafficking, and then the trilateral countries action plan. And this, it might happen as we continue over the next 3 years, Chair, that new threats are being identified that will then be incorporated. We can never allow the strategy to be a stagnant document that was very rigid, that does not allow for development over time. The second area that we are focusing on is the response to cybercrime. We have developed, Chair, a cybercrime strategy with a detailed implementation plan. And cybercrime is an issue that could have a very negative impact on the country if it's not properly managed. And as one of the key stakeholders involved in that process, we have the responsibility to start with implementation. For instance, the requirement that the National Commissioner establish a designated point of contact, which we are currently busy with, and that relates specifically to cybercrime. When we look at the authority of the state, Chair, there are four deliverables that we will be focusing on. The first one is your internal stability. Now, there we are aware of the recommendations that has been made by the various panels that we are currently implementing. We also are focusing on the establishment of a proper coordination structure. Internally, we are establishing operational command centers at the various organizational levels. And then at NAT joint levels, we are also busy with the process of establishing a nerve center at that level to coordinate the efforts of those that are involved in the NAT joint structures. The MOU in terms of the cooperation between SAPS and the SANDF, Now, that includes the development of specifically mobilization and deployment protocol in a situation where we might be facing something that happened similar to what happened in July last year. Capacitation of public order policing. This is an area that is a priority chair. We've, NASCOM has already allocated 4,000 of the people that will, or the trainees that will be completing their training now in December will be allocated to public order policing. We are also targeting the establishment of 7 additional units. Some of them are dormant units that we just need to reactivate. And then there are several training interventions to ensure that our first responders, that is where you have people at station level as first responders, that they are properly trained to deal with issues around public order. Police safety, a key issue, Chair. There has been attacks on police stations and robberies, etc. So we have prioritized the safety of specific police stations in terms of perimeter fencing, access control, your bulletproof glass, and your CCTV system that needs to be installed at these stations that have been prioritized. And we also note in this regard, Chair, that this includes the top 30 police stations as well. The third issue deals with the availability of illegal firearms. Now, we have been dealing with the implementation of the CFR action plan to improve the registration of legal firearms, and we are making progress in that regard as we report on a quarterly basis to deal with the backlogs, the renewals, the amnesty processes, etc. And then we also initiated the SAP 13 store clearance project here to make sure and to deal with the issues of around the firearms that are currently stored in our evidence storerooms, which we refer to as our SAP 13 storerooms. The next one, Chair, is the next area is a multidisciplinary approach to address crimes that deals with essential infrastructure. We have established the economic infrastructure task teams in 18 of the identified hotspots. I must just indicate, Chair, that that has since increased to 20. So we have 20 districts in the country where we have already established interim economic infrastructure task teams, but we are busy with the conducting of work study investigation to facilitate the establishment of multidisciplinary teams in all of the provinces and districts. The aim, as I indicated, is to activate these fully fledged economic infrastructure units in all of the nine provinces. When we're looking at serious corruption, there are specific investigations, and this is where this is a dual responsibility that talks to responsibilities of DPCI as well, where we have prioritized high-level investigations. That is the State Capture Commission recommendations, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission recommendations, the expert panel recommendations, and COVID-19 procurement. So those are some of the priority serious corruption investigations that have been included in the strategy. The gangs, we are now looking at the economical issues. As I indicated, we have to look at the influence of gangsterism to ensure that we minimize the impact of gangsterism on communities. And in that regard, a strategy has been developed and implemented, and we have specific allocation of funding to the anti-gang units. So we are then making sure that they are sufficiently capacitated in the provinces where they are established. Narcotics, but the next focus deliverable that talks to the availability of drugs, and that is being addressed by the National Drug Master Plan, where we participate as one of the government departments that we monitor and also facilitate implementation. The next area is the incidence of cash in transit heist, where we as a department have implemented in collaboration with other stakeholders a multidisciplinary approach to the prevention of CITs. And for instance, what we have included there is the cooperation with Metro Police, other force multipliers, enforcement agencies rather, and private security industry. The next area, the top 30, Chair, now we are moving to the well-being and safety. I think, and this relates directly to the comment, ma'am, that you made about the crime statistics that has recently been released, where we see a notable increase in most categories of crime. And this is those things that specifically threatens the well-being of people in South Africa. Now, the key intervention here is the top 30 approach that the National Commissioner already explained. And what we are focusing on here is to address in these top 30 areas through the application of the planning doctrine that I've already explained, focusing on addressing those crime generators, your illegal firearms, your liquor, drugs, illicit mining, undocumented foreign nationals that are involved in crimes, etc. So the focus is on effective intelligence, the DNA, where we have forensic evidence that can be utilized, your high visibility and density, high density operations, the down management of cases, the targeted deployment of external force multipliers, the deployment of our tactical response teams, the TRTs, they are specifically involved, you know, in the top 30 police stations where they are deployed on a daily basis, depending on the crime threat and pattern analysis to assist your conventional policing. I'm not going to go through the full list, Chair, but you will note it continues on the next slide, on slide 18 as well. You will note that there's quite an investment that is being made in the top 30 police station, and that it also includes the capacitation of the police, of the top 30 police stations in terms of human and physical resources. It is also managed that this specific intervention is managed by the Integrated Resource Management Committee of staff at the highest level. And we have also implemented bi-weekly accounting on performance, and certain efforts in terms of vehicle fleet management have been prioritized as far as the top 30 police stations are concerned. And then we also targeting them in terms of providing them with the necessary technology that is available. The second intervention in terms of the top 30, Chair, is the deployment of our head office generals. The top 30 police stations have been allocated to our deputy national commissioners, our divisional commissioners, etc., where they are currently taking responsibility for these police stations in terms of an assessment. So they take responsibility to visit these police stations, then conduct an assessment of the current situation and assist with the development of plans to help those stations to improve. And this is then being monitored by the National Crime Combating Forum at the highest level. In addition to that, Chair, the National Commission also directed that each one of the provinces identify their own top 20 police stations in those areas, or top 20 police stations in terms of crime, where specific efforts are being implemented. Now, the rationale behind the prioritization, if I can just go back to the top 30 stations quickly, the top 30 stations represents almost 50% of the crime that has been reported in the country. So the rationale is, if you target the top stations, whether it's the top 30 nationally or the top 20 in the province, and focus the attention on those, you could make through effective implementation of operations, make a difference in those specific areas. With the provision that you don't allow the overflow of crime then to your neighboring police station. So in the top 30 stations, some of the key initiatives that is included there is the appointment of provincial champions for the districts in the provinces, the deployment and availability of station management over weekends, and then the effective management of station intelligence profiles, your station profiles, your crime threat analysis and your crime pattern analysis, because that must inform the weekly operations that are being conducted in a specific precinct. And it is important that these are updated on a regular basis. And you will note there that the further requirements are, Chair, that you have regular communication on those specific products so that the station at any given point in time is responding to the specific crime threats that has been identified. It continues on the next slide, Chair, where we're talking about deliverable number two, where we're talking about violent crime through the conventional policing approach. Now, here we have specific operations, Chair, and these will change. These are the ones that are currently there, but it will change as we progress in time. And depending on the specific threat that's been identified, the department will respond by means of specific operations that will be implemented in those identified areas. Here we have, for instance, your stabilization operations in KwaZulu-Natal, your N3 highway protection between Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal, your cross-border operations at Emangusi, KwaZulu-Natal. So I'm not going to go in through the detail of all of these. But what is important to note here, Chair, is that specific areas are being targeted. And in this regard, we use the conventional approach. But if the need is then identified to supplement this by means of a geographical or organized crime approach, that will then happen. The impact of operations, our national crime combating forums and provincial crime combating forums, they have been established with the aim not only to direct your operational activities, but at the same time, on a regular basis, monitor the impact of these operations to determine what is working, what is not working, and where there is a need is then being identified to change the operational approach that we follow. In this area, we are also focusing on the 10111 centers, where we are developing a strategy to optimize the current functioning of the 10111 centers where they exist in the respective provinces. We have also developed a detective service recovery plan, Chair, that focuses on key elements within the detective service environment. This is now specifically in the detective service of the South African Police Service, where we focus on issues around the tracing of wanted. That we have bail defense projects, the post-parole dismissed appeals, the utilization of informers and informer networks, investigative techniques, turnaround time for investigation. So those are the key issues that we are focusing on in the detective service environment, but at the same time focus on also the total criminal justice value chain to see that we optimize not only the detective service as an internal capability, but also the total value chain in terms of the criminal justice system. The GBV, Chair, we've given progress on that. We've established GBV desk at police stations. At this point in time, we are going through an assessment exercise to determine whether they are fully functional and where necessary provide the necessary training. The top 30 hotspots areas, station areas, and they, to a certain extent, they do correlate with the top 30 in terms of high crime, contact crime. There are specific plans in place to address them, and we've, for instance, an additional 100 million was made available to address the situation at the top 30 GBV hotspots. The DNA backlog, Chair, I'm very confident to say we have made significant progress in that regard. We are also reporting to the committee on this. We are currently addressing the backlog, and according to our estimates, we will soon get to a situation where the DNA backlog has been eradicated, and it includes the contract management as well as the optimal utilization of the relevant systems. Chair, the first issue about the safer city, you know that we've been working on that. There has been implementation problems that we as a department identified because we are dependent on cooperation or collaboration with your metros. So we are now focusing on those specific cities where we've already initiated the project to make sure that it's 100% implemented and working. DDM, we are participating in district development, and we are part of the development of the one plans in the 52 districts. I can just mention in this regard that we have been identified, Chair, as one of the departments that's contributing very well to the project, and we will then be presenting to the presidential task team on the 6th of December on the progress that we've made. Chair, the community strengthening, community relations. We've developed a communication plan to make sure that we regularly communicate with our communities in terms of crime trends, investigation successes. We're continuing with MBISOs and community awareness campaigns. The establishment, the National Commissioner has initiated a project to look at the re-establishment of CPFs. We are not saying that they never existed, but the aim is now to make sure that they are, for instance, that we have equitable community involvement and that communities are properly represented on the CPFs. And we are also in the process to establish integrated crime combating forums, for instance, with your railway environment, Eskom, Telkom, as some of the examples. So now we are moving internally. This is the last area that talks to the strategy itself. And this is where we are now looking at the internal areas. I'm not going to talk a lot about the staff establishment. We are in a fortunate position that we've been allocated funding to continue with enlistments. We currently have, I could just briefly, approximately 10,000 people that are being trained, and we are busy with the processes to look at the enlistments for the next financial year. Capacitation of the top 30 is definitely, as I already indicated, a priority for the department. So we have established a task team to look at the requirements of the top 30 police stations in terms of physical and human resources, and then initiating activities to ensure that we capacitate them. That includes the placement of your recruits as well. At this point in time, there is an allocation that's going to the provinces, but we are not yet in a position to indicate exactly what amount is going to the top 30 police stations. The recruitment processes, promotion processes, they are continuously running. And we have identified a list of critical vacancies, for instance, in the crime intelligence environment that needs to be filled and monitored. Okay, the next one is the specialized unit. We have specialized units both within the prevention and investigative environment. So we are finalizing those work study investigations to make sure that we determine where exactly the specialized capabilities needs to be established, to determine what the resource requirements are, and taking into consideration that we are currently, as a department, facing financial constraints. So we cannot just haphazardly continue with this expansive approach in terms of our footprint, not taking into account the financial constraints that we are facing as a department. We are looking specifically at specialized capabilities such as the murder and robbery and others that has already been presented to the committee. We are looking at the availability of staff's vehicles. The functioning of our garages, chairs, is definitely a priority. And so we've gone through certain exercises to determine where the current bottlenecks are. We've looked at the specific contracts that deals with, for instance, the servicing of vehicles, the supply of spare parts, etc. And one of the principles that has been implemented, that while we are busy with this exercise and while we are optimizing the functioning of our SAPS garages, the top 30 police station vehicles must be prioritized to ensure that at even any given point in time, they have the optimal number of vehicles available. We have to facilitate our restructuring process and finalize that to ensure that we have organizational stability. We have presented the morale, the organizational climate survey, and the department has developed a plan to address with that. And these, we will also then conduct roadshows. I think National Commissioner already started with that exercise some time ago to visit provinces and management to communicate the priorities that has been identified in the context of this plan. We are also finalizing the activation of the compliance board to deal specifically with issues around compliance, the establishment of our dedicated discipline management capabilities, and the National Commissioner has also reinstated the quarterly organizational performance reviews. We had our first one in August, where we reviewed our performance for the first quarter. So I believe soon we will have our second or quarterly organizational performance review. This is very an appreciated value add that helps us to focus the organization on those specific key issues that has been identified. We also have some training interventions that are running. There are specific training courses that has been prioritized. I'm not going into the details, but it deals with training requirements and the development of learning programs, specifically in your visible policing environment, as well as your crime detection environment. And there's also a focus on the development of SAP's management to make sure that we equip our managers at the various levels in terms of those specific skills and competencies that are required. The slide number 31, the technology issue, there has been, or there is certain issues that has been identified as priorities. That is your drones or remotely piloted aircraft systems, where we are currently investigating the viability and looking at the specific options that are available, the use and wearing of body-worn cameras, the establishment of the DNA processing laboratory in the Eastern Cape. Indications are that early next year, this lab might be or will become fully operational. Cloud computing is also something that is part of the fourth industrial revolution where we currently are. It's something that in our private capacities we might all be already used to, but it's something that we need to fast track as far as the South African Police Service is concerned to make sure that we use the available technology that there is to the benefit of the organization. Exemption of CETA, this is an issue that has been ongoing, Chair. I don't want to comment on that. I must admit at this point, I'm not 100% sure what the status is, but I know that there has been engagement at ministerial level, and we have been currently looking at exempting ourselves from the CETA Act because of the problems that we have presented to the portfolio committee, impacting negatively on the procurement and the lifecycle management of technology that we use in the South African Police Service. Chair, in the last slide talks about the SAF's infrastructure. The DPCI office accommodation is a matter that has been raised. We are also attending to the issue utilization of official accommodation that has been identified as a key issue that we as a department must look to provide sufficient accommodation to our members. This is now specifically in the rural issue, in the rural areas. The last deliverable in that regard, Chair, is then the improved contract management. If I'm correct, we have approximately 130 contracts on our books at the moment. There are a couple that is coming to an end in the end of March, the next financial year. But we have done the audit of all existing contracts, the database is in place, and measures have been implemented to ensure that those that will be expiring soon will be replaced by the relevant contracts. Chair, that is a very brief rundown, and I know it took a bit of the time to do that, but it's important to communicate these specific issues that the department is focusing on. And I just want to repeat, Chair, that the statement that I made at the time when we responded to the AGSA recommendations or the audit findings is this is the second layer of planning in the department, and it indicates specific concrete deliverables that we want to achieve as a department, and this also then cascades lower down into the annual operational plans of the relevant business units where they then adopt or accept responsibility for implementation, but at the same time, also identify additional issues that are relevant to those. So, we've sent a copy of the plan itself. We are currently monitoring progress that has been made, and I want to say that soon we will be in a position to indicate to the department what progress we have made with implementation, and we trust that if we effectively implement the strategy and we apply the principles of proper lifecycle management of operations, we apply the principle of capacitating, capacity development, making sure that we have the right resource at the right time, at the right location. And then we also apply the planning doctrine in terms of intelligence, your visible policing deployments, your reaction, your response, your stakeholder management. This, we are quite convinced that should have a positive impact on the crime situation that we are facing in the country. Honourable Chair, that concludes my presentation, and I do appreciate the opportunity. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you very much, Major General Rabi. I gave you sufficient time to do the presentation because I think it's important for us as a committee to know what you're doing and not only to call you to respond to our questions and respond to things like the BRRR report. We have been speaking about this program and strategy, but we haven't engaged with it thoroughly. The first point I'd like to make is that our Honorable Whip was having connectivity challenges. I'm glad you are with us now, Honorable Siabi. My gratitude to Honorable Siabi and the members for the passing of the Poktetara Bill in the National Assembly on National Commission. It is now with the NCLP, and I wish the minister, the deputy minister, and the civilian secretariat well. Our Honorable Whip, Honorable Siabe, will also assist in that process with the NCLP. We hope that the NCLP still passes the bill before the end of this year. I see Ms. Omar is here. I don't know if Ayanda is still here. Convey our sincerest gratitude. Pusi is here from the Civilian Secretariat. Please convey our gratitude to the Civilian Secretariat, Honorable National Commissioner. They have really worked hard. The committee was very strict. We had a very strict time schedule, and they responded to the requests we made. I know that I was very impossible at times. I had impossible time frames. The committee wanted a 2-week extension for public consultation. We gave you those 2 weeks. So I think we did it within a very short space of time. This was quite miraculous. Again, my gratitude to all the members. I'm not going to mention you one by one. But the members, you did hard work. We did this in record time, and we know that we did this for our country. We didn't do this for our political parties. We did not want our country to be grey-listed, and as a committee, I can safely say each and every member, we rose to the occasion. It's very good if you can see that a group rises to the occasion and delivers a product which is of such high quality. Members, we presented our country with a very good quality document yesterday in Parliament. Honorable members, there you have the presentation. Do you like to comment? Do you like to ask questions? Would you like to add? What I would like to ask is, National Commissioner, could you maybe give us or produce a very small document that summarizes what this plan and strategy is, so that when we go do our constituency work, we can also give it to the other members of Parliament, and it could be a reference document, almost like a constitution that we can walk around with and give to the public and our constituencies. I'm sorry that she only linked late. You had technical glitches. Honorable Siabi, your hand is up. Honorable Whoop. Whoop, your mic is on. Then I've noted Honorable DeBlanche. Honorable Whoop, just switch off your mic. DeBlanche, you may speak now.
Chairperson, thank you. I first want to start by congratulating the police for this very comprehensive plan. Today, I really feel very encouraged. This is a comprehensive plan, as I said, and you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, addressing all the issues, the pressing issues. You know, this is a plan spanning over the whole project, you know, of spectrum. Chairperson, I want to wish the police well with the implementation of this plan. It is really of utmost importance that, you know, we get policing, a professional police that is, you know, obviously able to manage crime down. And as I said, looking at the plan, I know that that is on a very high level at the moment, and but, you know, obviously the general mentioned that it needs to be rolled out, you know, to lower levels still, and I do understand that. Chairperson, I'm going to ask just, you know, or mention, it's not really questions, I think it's just a few things that I want to just highlight. The first one is, you know, obviously, and I think that is where the premise where the police started from, you know, the expectation or, you know, the commitment that our state president made at some stage that we need to halve crime by, I think, 2030. And I think, you know, this is an obvious question that the police, you know, developed this plan to work into that direction. The second thing that I want to raise, and I think I have the answer for that as well, Chairperson, the illegal mining issue in this country really, you know, becomes a serious problem. We did oversight in certain areas, and it really becomes a very serious problem, as I said, and I know that, and General Arabi can just maybe confirm that, I think that that is going to be addressed under the organized crime approach. You know, obviously that will form part of all the others as well, but I mean, organized crime, I think that is also where it is, needs to be addressed. Chairperson, and then General Arabi also mentioned the question of infrastructure development, and this is really one of the things that is still lacking. Even for this committee, we had an engagement one day with the Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure, and she came, she were not properly prepared or informed for that day, and we didn't have or had the benefit yet of, you know, being able to, you know, obviously involve them properly. But this is something that I will really ask the police to look into. The maintenance of police facilities, and then obviously building new police stations, Chairperson, especially in the rural areas. People are far removed from police stations, and that's why quite a lot of, you know, criminal activity does not get reported. Chairperson, and then lastly, I think in terms of the vehicles, and I'm glad also that it was mentioned where the vehicles, you know, preference will be given. And just, you know, something that I'm curious about is, you know, maybe developing or introducing or implementing new ways of, you know, fleet management and even the sourcing of the fleet. Chairperson, thank you. I am covered. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Tablanche. I think you could see that there was so much effort put into this plan, and this committee would really like to see the progress report on this plan. Honorable Shimbeni?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Thank you very much to General Arabi. Yeah, I'm laughing because now I've followed General Arabi since in this committee. It's very good in these things, the plans and everything. But now, my biggest problem is the implementations and everything. Simic, this is not done. Let me start with the issue of the accommodation of the SAPS members. Yeah, it seems as if we are lacking a lot. Previously, we've seen that police were being taken care of, but for now, yeah, it's very difficult. I understand that it is because of the public works and the like, but I think this is something that must be taken to SAPS to look after its people. So I think that needs a special attention. I'll be coming to POP. I've heard that now POP will be getting 4,000 members and the like. that takes me to a point where I wanted to talk about identifying members from the college level to different units and colleges. Is it not wise that SAPS identifies these members at college level? Those ones that will take the detective path, those ones that will take this poll, those ones that will be taking POP, public order policy, so that these people, they go straight from college to the next specialized unit and then go straight to their trainings and whatever. Thereafter, when they go to the public, they are fully members of that unit who have the knowledge of what they are going to do there. Why am I saying this? We are avoiding this thing that members will be sent to different units because they are a problem in some certain units. Now it's better that this one is somewhere there, or it's working as a court orderly, or it's working as a what, because now you are in disagreement with other people where you are being deployed. So I think if we identify those members from college level, their potentials, so that when it comes to detectives, you have people who can be able to write statements. Because the most important thing, the statement must have those elements of crime. So that now when you take the document to court, it must not be declined by the prosecutor, because all the elements of crimes are there. So you know what you are talking about. You know what are your expectations in your docket, other than just to be somebody just like that who cannot even write. We've got people who are running away from crime scenes because they are unable to write, chair. We do have that in the SAPS. And I think the National Commissioner can attest to that. We do have people who cannot write. And we do have managers who are unable to attend scenes because they cannot write the so-called now the what you call it. You want a report, but the manager cannot give you a detailed report because he or she cannot write. She does not know what is happening in the crime scene. But that person is a leader, it's a manager of that particular department or division. Coming to REC, this resource allocation guide, Chairperson, much concerned. We've been asking this for a long time, that the SAPS does not follow this resource allocation guide. Because in this resource allocation guide, it's where when you arrive at the station, you know that this station has got so many captains, so many constables, so many cars, so many offices and all this. But it seems as if this thing is not followed. Because you might have now, as we speak, a station without a warrant officer or two warrant officers, whereas it had maybe 15. And then all of these ones, they've resigned or retired or whatever, and there is no replacement. But when you go to the REC will tell you that we have 25 warrant officers. So I'm very much concerned if we do follow this. If we do, I don't think that we might be having a problem that we are having today, because this same applies also into detectives, because you will know that in your area, you have got so many detectives in your station that this detective branch is dealing with a community of so many people. And in this station, so many dockets are coming in a day or a week. So I must have so much number of detectives to deal with these dockets. So this goes with the resource allocation guide. On the rented houses, Chairperson, as police station, I'm very much worried with this bridge camp, whatever, police station that we have complained. It's not the only one. And there are other police stations which have been built for more than 5 years now in Mpumalanga. They are not yet finished. The community is complaining. We don't know what is happening here. Now, I think SAPS must have powers to have their own resources and to look after their own resources. This is the only thing that is going to help us. We can't have old apartheid houses that are being rented up until today. You'll find that the department is paying more than 20,000 a month in that old decapitated house that is regarded as a police station. So something must be done with that, Honorable Chairperson. The management restructuring promotions, including the qualifications, I did not hear about that. I think that is the gist of the problem that we are having at the present moment with our organization. So if we can start there at the top, deal and go down, so that when you want those proposals, General Rabi, to be implemented, you know that you have got the right person in the right place who knows what you are talking about, those strategies. You cannot have a person that will be sitting in a meeting and does not actually understand the purpose of that meeting. And when he or she goes out, she will be asking from other members, what were you saying? What was that? It's because we are having wrong people in the wrong places. If we can get the right people in the right places, I think we will not be having this problem. You cannot take a person from being a stock theft tenant or whatever to become a vehicle theft unit aid. These are two different divisions. Yes, I understand we're talking about investigations everywhere, but the different types of investigations. Investigating stolen ship and investigating a stolen vehicle is two different things. A vehicle's chassis can be tampered with or engine or any other thing, but in a car, there is nothing that is being tampered. If there is that mark, you see the mark that can be seen by everybody. But a vehicle needs etching and all these things. A lot of investigation must be done. A car has got engines, tags, and all these secret VIN numbers and all that, that needs a person to know the leader or the so-called the commander must be able to go to the SAP 13 camp to say, let us go and do 1, 2, 3 today. Not to sit in the office, not knowing, only signing the files. That's where corruption starts. It's because you don't know this thing. These constables will play with you. They will come here and give you files that you must sign. Those cars are not in the camp. They have been sold long time ago. But because you don't know your work, you're in the wrong place. You will sit in the office and sign, and you say you are doing whatever inspections and all that, but you did not do physical inspections to these cars or whatever in the SAP things. Lastly, I forgot to ask about the so-called now, the inspections in the SAP things of the firearms general. That is there any plan to say that you go visit as the national or the provincial level to visit all the SAP 13 storages where our firearms are being kept at a regular basis to see if there are no firearms that are being sold to the public? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Do we have any further questions or comments before I allow SAPS to respond? If none, General Masemola, you may respond or ask your team to respond.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. We do take note. On the question of illicit mining, and the organized crime, Honorable Chairperson, is quite a compendium of crimes, it's quite a lot of crimes, and illicit mining is one of those organized crime that is that falls under the category of organized crime. And we have a team, as it was said earlier, that is focusing on that. And we are also engaging the SANDF in terms of assisting in underground operations that will still be finalized. With regard to infrastructure development, as you are aware, it is our utmost priority, but unfortunately, we are dependent on another sister department, which, yes, there are promises, but the delivery is not as fast as we want it to be. With regard to the fleet management and acquiring, I think is a good point raised by Honorable Terre Blanche, that we can relook at probably new ways of how can we acquire and maintain our fleet. So that will relook, we'll do a benchmarking and see which model maybe is the best, and then take it from there. But of course, I know that there are other methods or models that are a bit disadvantageous. I think not long ago we saw on the they're circulating that one of the municipalities' vehicles are not released because the municipality is renting vehicles, and these vehicles were not being released. But we'll look at a broader spectrum across the world and see which model looks best, and then we will advise accordingly thereafter. In terms of the personnel that they be taken from the college straight, I'll ask General Dimpani to speak on that. I'm aware that, yes, the PSP, we have given them 4,000, and the Family Violence Child Protection units, I know we are giving them 350 something, but she can elaborate more on the various numbers that are going directly to specialized units. In terms of the morale, boosting morale of the members, yes, we, as you said, we are which we will be going to provinces talking to them in terms of the climate study, and we have now during this month also filled up some vacant posts where 3,670 members were promoted, and we also finalized one of the agreements we had with the SSPC of great progression of 7,284 members now in November, and the great progression starts 51st April 2022. So we'll continue asking the Treasury to assist us in terms of where we can better the conditions of service of our members. Restructuring, we will be finalizing it, engaging unions to with a view to finalize that in due course. The SAP 13 store firearms, we have, as you are aware, we have embarked on a new process which we want to, we will implement soon. We have not, we are on the finalized stage where we definitely will have minimum firearms as SAP 13 stores. The process will be that when a firearm is recovered, it's sent to ballistics, And once it has been examined by ballistics, it will never go back to the station of origin. It will stay at a central storage from the ballistic lab. And it will only go back when it's necessary in case it is required as evidence in court and so on. And in most cases, these firearms don't get required. So there will be very little or no, very little minimum SAPC store firearms at police stations in the future. So that's the new way that model that we will implement soon. We are at further touches of that. General Limpani, can you answer on the other question, please?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. In terms of the FCS from Project 10,000, that will be going out on from the 13th of December. We have 375 that is allocated to FCS. We also have 719 that is allocated to the detectives. These groups, together with the 4,000 that is allocated to POP, will be doing a workplace exposure for 6 months thereafter. They will go directly to this unit. This unit, a specialized unit, remains a priority for SAPS, and we will continue to ensure that we strengthen as a result of resource allocation to all specialized units. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, General Dimpani. Next. If not, honorable members, General Masimola, is there anything else you wish to add?
Thanks, General Limpani. I don't know whether yourself or General Fani can speak about SAPS buildings.
I will touch in terms of the SAPS buildings as well as more info on the new ways of sourcing of fleet. To this end, in terms of new ways of sourcing of fleet, we have requested a research unit, our research unit, to go into a study and assist us. Indeed, this is a priority. As soon as we get recommendations from the research unit, we will then be implemented. This is part and parcel of the activities that we are doing to ensure that we implement the strategy that was presented this morning. The buildings of police stations, we do have targets that we have set out for a period of 3 years. As the National Commissioner has indicated, we do have those dependencies. However, we have opened up discussions and interventions as well as forums with our sister departments. Yes, there will be promises that are made, but the implementation becomes a little bit slower. But this is also a matter that we are dealing with public works and escalating where there is a need. We do take note in terms of rural areas and the movement of communities from, especially in small areas where the community will have then shifted. Those are the matters that we are looking into. We are also looking at mobile police stations, mobile charge offices, where we can then assist in the interim while we are dealing with long-term projects in terms of building of police stations. As we report progress on the implementation of the strategy, we will then be appraising the committee in terms of how far are we winning, and the interactions that we are having with public works in this particular regard. But it is a matter that is a priority, including the maintenance of those particular police stations. We are interacting with public works to devolve further in terms of the work that we could do as SAPS to expedite the process. So those are the interactions that are currently on the table between ourselves and public works. Hopefully they will then expand further in terms of approval for permission to grant SAPS permission to do other maintenance issues by ourselves. So we will be informing or appraising the committee in this regard as and when we implement the strategy. Thank you, National Commissioner. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks.
Yes, National Commissioner.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. With regard to allocation of resources and personnel to police stations, we currently use fixed establishment, which take into consideration the uniqueness of a police station area in terms of the deployment and allocation of personnel. That's the current tool that we do use. And even on the top 30, that's exactly what we are going to use. So meaning that even if you have two station commanders that are colonels, they might not have exactly the same resources because their areas are not the same, which we think is much more practical and address the individual situation. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Honorable members, this was a very, very good way to end the year. We're ending the year, National Commissioner, Honorable Whip, Honorable members, with having done a very good job with the passing legislation, looking at our BRRR reports, looking at different matters from the public. It was a very good balance between public participation, cases involving the public, policy related matters, financial related matters. We have had a new national commissioner. So many areas were covered, but we still need to do so much more. I'd like to thank the national commissioner and his team. I'd like to thank the chief whip, the whip, and all the members of the committee. I'd like to thank our staff, Nicolette Babalwa Sutu, who have really worked tirelessly to support this committee. Honorable Shembeni, I'm not going to take more hands now. I'm closing the meeting now. This is not the first and only time that we are going to involve in this strategy. The National Commissioner and your team, you'll come back and report to us on a quarterly basis on progress made. Because this strategy is a comprehensive response to a number of the questions which have been asked by the committee. I wish to congratulate all the members for their participation and their contributions to making South Africa a safe and better environment for all its citizens. May you have a safe festive season. May it be memorable, happy and joyous. Those who are traveling, arrive alive. Those who are spending time with their families, please do so and come refreshed next year. If we need to call you for an urgent meeting during recess, my humblest apologies if I need to do so. I'll only do so if we have an emergency. In the meantime, National Commissioner, will be communicating with you as we usually do. Thank you very much for your support, your team's support to the committee and to the chairperson in particular, to the whip in particular. We appreciate your hard work. Convey our sincerest gratitude to the minister and the National Commissioner. The meeting now stands adjourned. Thank you very much, honorable members. You may leave.
Thank you, Chair.
Into a passing out parade.
Thank you,
greetings to all. Greetings to all. It's
greetings to you, Chair.
Good luck for the conference of the AMC.
Good luck. Thank you.
Greetings. Thank you, Chair.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Recording.